I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan is in Israel, meeting with Israeli President Isaac Herzog this morning after talks with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday. And just a short time ago, Jake Sullivan addressed reports that the Biden administration wants Israel to end the, quote, high-intensity phase of its war against Hamas.
We are now in the middle of a high-intensity phase with ongoing ground operations, military operations, in both the northern half and the southern half of Gaza. But there will be a transition to another phase of this war, one that is focused in more precise ways on targeting the leadership and on intelligence-driven operations that continues to deal with the ongoing threat that Hamas poses.
Now, again, that Fox report, that we definitely have a war that is not going to be over by Christmas. Many were hoping it would be, and there's increasing pressure for maybe Israel to begin to back off. And they have repeatedly. They've allowed more humanitarian aid in. They've even helped many Palestinians get out of the area, and, of course, still trying to find the hostages, which Hamas continues to hold. And as I told you yesterday, Israel now has a $400,000 bounty on the head of the Hamas commander. They've got a general idea where he is, but they're looking for more intel and information. And if anyone wants to sell him out for $400,000, you're going to be richer and he will be dead. Here we are, December 15, 2023, second hour, Larry Connors, USA. Every Monday through Friday, you find us here from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video for you at Larry Connors, USA, Facebook and Twitter. Also, News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter. If you miss anything, you simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and you can pull it up. Let me take a moment to remind you, you can also email me anytime you want. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. I get a lot of comments on either the audio and or video feeds. I can't stay on top of all of them. And for those of you who have not gotten back around to answering and responding, please accept my apology. Part of it is I'm lazy. I'm playing poker. I'm drinking and playing poker. I'm lazy. I really do try to stay on top, but I do fall behind. So please accept my apology. I eventually try to get around to everybody, and by then you're thinking, I forgot what this is all about. Who is this guy? So once again, the concern has been raised about the civilian casualties. Now, this is something that we've had pushed repeatedly. In fact, and I told you, if you recall, once Israel started responding after October 7 and the atrocities carried out by Hamas against innocents in Israel, men, women, and children, unarmed in most cases, and certainly women and children who had nothing to do with anything other than trying to live their lives, they were massacred, slaughtered, and some taken hostage. And when they grabbed hostages, they got a lot of folks who, from different nationalities, who happened to be in Israel. Gradually, they have released some. They still hold some Americans. One American they supposedly hold is the report of a young man who had gotten with fellow classmates, I think, might have been on a trip to Israel. When all this happened, they tried to hide in a bunker below a house where the Hamas terrorist got the door open and threw a grenade in, and this young man lost his arm or part of his arm. At last report, he is alive, but who knows in what condition. His family is one of the ones doing a teleconference with President Biden earlier this week, urging, please get my son back. And I fully understand that. And if you've got a loved one being held by them, can we get our people out before you continue? And I told you, as soon as Israel starts responding, even though they sent word in a week's ahead for those in northern Gaza Strip, move south, because we're going to target the northern part, because that's where most of the rockets and fires have come from, and we know that's where most of the Hamas activities are carried out, in tunnels under your civilian population. And once they did that, then they start moving south. And then moving south, well, a lot of Hamas went along with them. We know that. And then you get increasing reports of these civilian casualties. I want you to listen to a response from an IDF veteran, Aaron Cohen, talking about citizen casualties.
We're at war. Israel's at war. Civilians get killed. It's no different in Afghanistan. It's no different than Iraq. It's no different than any other country in the Western world that deliberately tries to kill the enemy while limiting risk to civilians. Israel falls in line with that international law. Problem here is that the U.S., the White House, wants to have its cake and they want to eat it too. And it's slowing down operations. And so Israel is now having to pull back those really successful air campaigns. All of southern Gaza is now filled with 15, 20,000 Hamas terrorist militants wearing civilian clothing.
Yeah.
So the numbers that are being ported to who? To the United Nations.
It's all nonsense.
It's all BS. And at the end of the day, Biden needs to shut his mouth. Blinken needs to stop the yapping. Let Israel go to work. Let Israel finish it.
And let Israel finish its job. And the point he made there, that a lot of Hamas terrorists had decided to put on civilian clothing. Maybe we won't be killed. We'll appear like we're not now just hiding under the citizens and under their schools and baby beds, but we're right there in public, but they don't recognize us because we're wearing civilian clothing. We're not wearing our green scarf around our head. And then if a bomb hits and kills them, are they all civilians that were killed or not? No one could know at this point. And we do know that yesterday, several of those who were continuing to keep their hold on that hospital finally gave up, came out with their arms above their head, no shirts on, and clearly showing no weapon. They just wanted to be done with it and surrender. And we've heard reports repeatedly about dissension inside the ranks of Hamas. They didn't expect it to be this bad. And yet Hamas continues to put the story out that you cannot flood our tunnels. We are protected from floods. I don't know if that's true or not, but they're trying to refute anything that might make them look weak and vulnerable. As I said, Israel is offering $400,000 bounty for information leading to the Hamas commander. Now, there have also been numerous stories coming out of the White House about VP Kamala Harris at odds with Joe Biden, stating that basically Biden is still too soft toward Israel. He needs to get tougher toward Israel, and he needs to show more support for PLO, which is in effect showing support for Hamas. Now, Kamala Harris will continually say what they did. Yeah, I'm not in favor of that, but she wants to look past it, and then she cries out for the civilians that are being killed. We all care about them, but apparently she and Biden have not just had discussions, but she's pushing him more because the progressive squad is pushing her, and maybe she sees an opening. Hey, if I can show that I'm stronger than Biden in supporting the PLO and Hamas, then they'll want to get him out of the way anyway, and then maybe I can be put into the White House Oval Office. Fox News' Peter Ducey raised a question at one of the news conferences on that specific point because he wanted to know about these leaks coming out. And leaks, normally, you have to understand, they're leaked for a particular reason and who's doing them and so forth. So Ducey is raising that question with John Kirby, the so-called admiral who is the White House spokesman. You want to hear this question and the response.
And a
That's a great question, because I just, I mean, if I could answer a question why somebody would leak, I mean, that would make me pretty smart and a lot smarter than I am. Let me just give me a second here. You've seen us officially and on the record, not in a leak, refute the basic premise of the story, that there's some sort of daylight between the vice president and the president. I found the headline of the story interesting, that the vice president is pushing the White House to, you fill in the blank, XYZ. Last I looked, the vice president is part of the White House. She's part of the team. And if she wasn't offering her advice and counsel to the president on innumerable issues, that would be a story. Her job is to provide advice and counsel to the president.
So she does want President Biden to show more concern publicly for humanitarian damage then in Gaza.
I think we've already pushed back on the premise of the story that there's some sort of daylight between her and the president. I would say that the entire leadership team here in the administration, Peter, wants to see no civilian casualties, wants to see the Israelis be more surgical, more precise, wants to see that humanitarian aid is increased into Gaza. And obviously, as the vice president has said herself, we all want to make sure that Israel has the tools and capabilities they need to defend themselves.
But don't use them. But don't use them. That's the caveat. Now, to the mention of the headline, he said, the headline suggesting that they are more at odds, he said you'd have an issue if she was not involved, such as not involved on dealing with our border as she was appointed to do. But CNN was quick to raise a story about how the Israeli government was using dumb bombs. By that, they would just lodge them into the air, just launch them into the air, and they'd fall wherever they didn't care as long as they fell into Gaza. And yet CNN knew otherwise. Their headline suggested Israel was using nothing but dumb bombs. Down in their story, CNN acknowledged the U.S. has provided Spice family gliding bomb assemblies, 3,000 of them, to Israel since October 7. And CNN even reported that and told Congress last month it planned to transfer $320 million worth of these kits to Israel in addition to what they've already given. The point of these kits is to make the so-called dumb bomb into a smart guided weapon where you can specify where you want it to hit. But CNN buried the lead, just made a big deal out of Israel's using dumb bombs. They don't care who they hit. And as I say, that violates their own story they had previously reported. Oh, but now we're trying to talk about integrity at CNN, NNN. Not likely to happen anyway. We did have a Liberian flag cargo ship catching fire in the Red Sea as another projectile of some type, missile, rocket, maybe from a drone out of rebel-controlled Yemen. And we do have Navy destroyers in the area. Hopefully they're not going to be involved as being taken a hit. They have been involved in shooting down some of these. And a task force is being assembled to help merchant ships around that part of the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. Now, there's a report coming out from DHS security reports about IEDs found at our southern border.
We have breaking news right now and a first on Fox Business exclusive. U.S. Customs and Border Protection are warning Border Patrol agents to be on the lookout for explosive devices after the Mexican military seized 10 IEDs at the southern border. Fox Business's Hillary Vaughn breaking the news right now from Capitol Hill. Hillary.
Good morning. Well, that's right. The Border Patrol agents are being warned to be on the lookout for these improvised explosive devices after the Mexican military seized 10 IEDs from the Mexico side of the U.S.-Mexico border. A federal law enforcement source shared with us the officer safety alert that went out to CBP agents this week, warning them to be careful and vigilant. The alert reads this, quote, agents should exercise extreme caution and should report any possible armed subject approaching the border with possible explosive devices.
Now, that was the warning. So they had some advance notice they might be using and have explosive devices along our, quote, southern border. And these 10 were found, I want to stress to you, not in the U.S., but on the Mexico side. And they were found only after two cartel gangs began to battle each other in a gunfight, trying to make sure that they could get their cargo, their human cargo, and trafficking through the opening in the gate and not the other. And in the process, that's when these were found. We do not know how many might have already come through anyway. And if they're in our nation, where and when would they be used? And Aaron Cohen, Israeli Defense Force veteran, says, the U.S. needs to pay attention because when we keep hearing and keep seeing the Biden administration try to shackle what we're trying to do, you're only doing more, especially with your border, to endanger your nation.
The longer it takes for Israel to topple Hamas, the more the craziness is going to continue to build here in the United States. And I'm going to talk and I'm going to cut back to what FBI Director Christopher Wright said. He has not seen this level of threat since 9/11. Mm. And the longer Israel's at war with Hamas and the longer the handcuffs are on, the more active shooters we're going to see start popping up here. The more pressure is going to be on U.S. law enforcement to be able to respond to multiple threats at multiple locations at the same time. And the more the U.S. is probably going to start moving to get Biden out of that White House and get somebody in there that understands the threat on the micro level and the macro level. And that's someone who's tough and understands that Israel is a expert in counterterrorism. And when Bibi gets on television, he says, hey, we got to destroy Hamas. He means it.
And when Biden gets on the administration and says, for those of you who think you can take advantage of this situation, I have one word, don't. That's evaporated, hasn't it? There are a growing number of Senate Democrats, including Latino caucus members, sounding the alarm over reports the administration might be ready to support new authority to expel migrants without asylum screenings and expand detention and deportation. That word's been going around because the Biden White House and congressional members think we gotta show the American public we are protecting them. Despite this open policy, they're worried they will get blindsided, the Latino caucus, if Senate negotiators reach a deal on border security, doing what we were discussing here, and Senate Majority Leader Schumer rushes it to the floor. Now, they're calling an emergency foreign aid package, which would include border security reforms. He wants that next week, so they're working through the weekend to try to get ready for it, even though they're on break, that they might still try to make that happen. Senator Cory Booker had said, I've been very concerned about the details. I got no details about where the negotiations, but I have concerns. Every American should have concerns about what's happening in our border. The only time this administration has been concerned when it's been made very clear to them by Republicans, you don't get another dime, not one more dime for Ukraine until you get money to actually help secure our border, not just process more illegals into our country. For those who are taking that stance, stand firm. Do not waver. Coming up next, all the anti-Semitism on university campuses, now even local school districts. Who's to blame? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, As always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and
global. People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
To the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Anti-Semitism grew out of the DEI program. Remember, diversity doesn't include Jews. It's only skin color diversity. Equity doesn't include Jews. And inclusion excludes Jews. And so when you have a university bureaucracy pitting some groups against others, you're going to inevitably get anti-Semitism.
The words of Professor Emeritus, Harvard Professor Emeritus, Alan Dershowitz, lists himself as a Democrat, said he never voted Republican, but at the same time he acknowledges that this administration has been so far out, it's been out to lunch for way too long. And when it comes down to anti-Semitism, this administration has helped push forward the woke agenda. The DEI, the diversity, equity, inclusion, all across the board of our federal government, be it the military, be it basically in the Postal Service, whatever. But as he said, you wonder how and why it gets into the campus because of the woke push by the administration. It's been underway long before woke was identified as being woke. It was done in different ways. Now, as far as the slurs against Jews, that's been forever. But he said if you're looking at diversity, diversity does not include Jews. Even now, in the view of this administration, if you look at how college campuses are going, and they're not holding back any federal dollars. Did you take note of that? With all of these Ivy Poison League universities the other day pointing out that they couldn't really tell you if being shouting out from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, that they could not accept Is that a call for genocide? In fact, if you were actually saying all Jews should be put to death, again, their attitude was, well, you have to take it in context. When they were asked repeatedly by New York Congresswoman Stefanik, does that violate your moral code book for your university? Not one of those professors could step forward and say with a clear statement, yes, it would violate it, and I'm against it. They all had obviously copied off of each other and decided we'll frame everything in, well, it depends upon the context. The context. If you recall Stefanik raising the question the other day, does that mean just saying it is an issue that I actually have to kill a Jewish person before it's in the context that you think, oh, I think that crossed our line of ethics for our university? They have let these rallies happen on their campuses, encourage them. They have professors that are pushing them. But if you try to hold a conservative rally or bring a conservative speaker to the campus or even hold a prayer vigil outside, they'll be all over you. This is what's wrong with America right now. We have lost our moral compass. And now this series of questions to these Harvard, University of Pennsylvania, MIT professors has exposed the rot at the top of the head. But it permeates all through. I had John LaBoutière on this week. He went to Harvard. He's the one who wrote Harvard Hates America 45-plus years ago. He said, everything I said is now being laid out for the public to see. And I had, earlier today, I had Hans von Spakovsky on from the Heritage Foundation. It's a very good interview. You'll want to hear it. If you missed it, go back and pull it up. Talking about the congressional hearing, impeachment hearing against Biden, talking about Hunter Biden and what he is getting away with by not showing up for the subpoena compared to Bannon, who got put in jail for 4 months because he would not show up for a deposition. That's just one of the Trumpers who got caught like that. But as Han said, they're not going to be going after Hunter because you had to have the Department of Justice do it, and the Department of Justice has been turning a blind eye to anything that would harm the Biden family. But the point I was leading up to there is that, again, if you missed the interview, please go back and pull it up and listen to it or watch it, and then share it with friends. But Hans von Spakovsky is a MIT graduate. I meant to ask him what his view was as to what the president of MIT was saying, along with the Ivy Poison League, Harvard, and University of Pennsylvania. I also want to share something else with you. There's a piece written by John Daniel Davidson. We've had him on before. He is a with the Federalist. He is their senior editor at the Federalist. Often you might also see his works in Wall Street Journal and other major publications. Not that the Federalist isn't. I'm just pointing out other places you can find him. He wrote a piece that the title is very, very good. If Republicans want to govern, they better learn how to go after the left. He says, for too long, conservatives have been loath to use government power to defend the republic from enemies within. That has to change. And he said, amid the controversy following the recent congressional testimony on the problem of campus anti-Semitism by the presidents of Harvard, MIT, and the University of Pennsylvania, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance introduced a bill that would drastically increase the tax rate on the largest university endowments. And he points out, Vance has been talking about this for some time. It's a good idea on merits, good example of how conservatives should be willing to use whatever political power they have to fight back against the left. Simply put, unless the right starts teaching and treating the left and its institutions like the hostile enemies they are to our republic might not survive. Those are all solid points. Now, I like the fact that Vance has the bill to increase their tax rate. What I also say is that make sure they get no federal dollars of any type of any grants. They rely on a lot of those to carry out various projects at their universities. There may be a worthwhile project they're working on, but with that kind of attitude and leadership, shut those down as well. Shut off any federal dollars going to any of these universities. Now, you've got Biden wanting to get everyone that went to college and didn't pay it and has a big student loan, let them have it free and just all be good. Penalizing those who did pay their loans back, penalizing those who didn't go to college or have money to send their kid to college, making them basically carry the weight as well, because that money is coming out of federal tax dollars. If he's going to do it, he could turn right around to these same universities and say, you are going to forgive that debt. And the government should get out of loans for college tuition. Let the colleges do it. They be responsible for it. Fed shouldn't be involved in education at any point, even at a university. But when you have heads of three of the wealthiest, most elite schools saying they couldn't really decide if a slander against a Jew or making remarks against them or mocking them or slanting the or shouting the PLO slogan, which would wipe out Israel from the river to the sea, would mean Israel would not exist. And they still say, well, we need to see the context. Well, of course, you know what happened. The University of Pennsylvania was told by a major donor, I'm going to pull back $100 million I'm going to give you unless that woman goes. She suddenly submitted her resignation. The Harvard professor immediately fell down on her sword the next day and said, I should have spoken from my heart and my true beliefs. I got caught in a combative situation. There was no combative situation. You're being asked, does this violate your rule of conduct? And the MIT is maybe hanging by her nails at this point. But these are the kinds of things John Anderson is pointing out in this piece for the Federalist. John Daniel Davidson. He said the right approach, and the point here, isn't just to raise additional tax revenue. The point is to acknowledge through federal policy that these universities do not serve the national interest. And if they can't be reformed, they at least need to be punished. And it is not just at the higher institutes of learning. It's happening in junior colleges. It's happening in high schools, elementary schools, and even below. The thought from the woke left is the earlier we start training them, the easier they'll be to follow. And unfortunately, many teachers are coming out. They might have actually gone in to college and bright-eyed, I want to be a teacher, I want to help kids. But they're quickly put on the path of, you need to learn how to indoctrinate, or you will not get your degree. All right, coming up in the next hour, what Biden did or didn't know about what Hunter was saying the other day. And I'm going to tell you about something I did that I was told would get me locked up in federal prison. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beale roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is News Talk STL.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com. litstl.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We're almost to tequila time. Or maybe we are already and I just missed it. We had raised the issue the other day, and in fact it got raised at the same time in the White House press conference after Hunter Biden went out and made his plea that, oh, woe is me, they're picking on me because of my daddy, and they've taken the light of my daddy's love for me and turned it into a darkness. I don't know how many of you cried during that, but he was wanting you to do so. He's trying to play on public sympathy. Hunter Biden does not make a sympathetic victim, and he's not a victim except of his own doing. And, of course, he refused to show up for the deposition the other day. Now, again, this is something I raised in the previous hour with Hans Monika Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, expert on constitutional law, so I really encourage you to go back and pull up that first hour if you missed it. Listen to it, because he's very direct on some of the answers and questions I'm restate here for you now. And that is, of course, a Hunter Biden was already under basically a parole that he had to follow the laws and so forth. That was back for the case he pled guilty to back in October on some of the IRS charges. But then he goes to the Capitol building but does not go inside, stands outside the Capitol and makes all of these remarks about how horrific things are for him because everybody's trying to get to Daddy, and Daddy had nothing to do with what he's done. He pointed out, he said, for the 6 years, I've been a target of the unrelenting Trump attack team. Trump has been under attack much longer than that, and his entire family under attack, and continues. He said, they, the Trump team, they've tried to dehumanize me, all to embarrass my father, who has devoted his life to public service. Well, I thought Joe said he was a lunch pail Joe, that he worked like everybody else. So he got, well, of course he didn't. He never had a job in his life other than being a politician, except when he was younger and was a lifeguard. Remember that story? It also appears that Eric Swalwell, Democrat of California, actually helped stage that press conference. He confirmed to Politico that he, quote, reserved the Senate swamp, as it's called, a spot mere feet from the Capitol that often hosts press conferences for, in this case, Hunter Biden. Jonathan Turley, Washington law professor, noted that by staying on the Senate side of the Capitol, Hunter guaranteed the House sergeant-at-arms did not pull him into the hearing room because the House committees were there waiting for him to come testify. And, of course, he said, basically, I'm here. I want a full public testimony. I'm right here. Standing outside the Capitol, on the Senate side, so he didn't get too close to the House side. And, of course, the question is, will he be held in contempt? First of all, can he? Yes. And you want a perfect example? I can point to two right away off the top as to what happened to those that were inside the Trump camp. Steve Bannon, October 2022, got sentenced in that time to serve 4 months behind bars after defying a subpoena for the House committee investigating the January 6th, quote, insurrection. And when they did that, then it became evident that they were going to not only put him behind bars, but impose a $6,000 fine as part of his sentence. Now, Bannon was not just refusing to sit for a deposition, but refusing to provide documents. So far, Hunter hasn't been asked directly for documents, at least not that I've seen, but I know he will be. And then another Trump White House official, Peter Navarro, was found guilty in September 2023 or refusing to cooperate. He wouldn't go testify in a deposition either. So he was found guilty of contempt. But to find Hunter Biden guilty of contempt would mean involving the Justice Department, which just happens to be under the thumb of Joe Biden and the Democrats. The House Republicans want to know directly from Hunter, how is your daddy tied to all the monies that were coming to you? And it's not just on speculation. It's not just on word of mouth or secondhand sources. It's based on bank documents that show checks, money in, money out of bank accounts. A bank examiner for his own bank had taken note of some of these irregularities. And in his fiduciary duty to his own bank, he was basically telling them, maybe we need to cut ties with this guy because there are too many questions surrounding the source of the money, and then how it's spread out. If you recall, one of the FBI informants had claimed that he was told, they'll never find all the money. We put it in so many different shell accounts, they'll never find them. Well, the House Oversight and House Judiciary Committee think they have found at least a lot of them. And you don't need all of them. You just need enough to prove the money came from one of our adversaries and under what conditions. Selling access to your father, that I can call him up and get him on the phone for you, that's one thing. That in itself would not meet the demands that come under impeachment. Impeachment looks at bribery, which means you get something in return for the money or favor you're doing for them. Treason, which to me is the same thing if it involves a foreign country. And other high crimes and misdemeanors. Everything I listed falls within the scenario that's been laid out involving Hunter Biden and his businesses and daddy since day one. And it is clear and true that if they do not actually have a true impeachment, not just an impeachment inquiry, but an impeachment of Hunter Biden before the next election, it's all going to be dropped. And even if they do it before the next election, if the Republicans don't control the House and the Senate, it'll be dropped and thrown off in the wastebasket again. That is how important this coming election is. Not just who for president, but who's going to control the Senate and the House, which party. I remind you again, we wouldn't know of any of these stories about Hunter Biden and everything else, Burisma, none of it, if Republicans were not holding control of the House. And even then, it's going to be very difficult, especially if you don't get control of the Senate, to actually impeach Biden. Republican Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma has said that, well, and he's a senator, has said you House members need to be aware you cannot really impeach Biden because a lot of this might have been happening when he was not president and maybe even after being vice president, so you don't have anything you can convict him on for impeachment. Not so, according to Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. So that would be like saying he is elected president and years later, while he is president, you find out he murdered his wife and it can be proven. You can't ignore that crime and you cannot let him stay because that is obviously other high crimes and misdemeanors. All right. We're going to have to see how this plays out. And now that Congress is basically off for the holidays, we're on a wait and watch. But we're watching. We're watching. Now let me turn to something else for you. A long time ago, in a galaxy far away, I did something that I was told, if you do that, you're going to get locked up in a federal prison. I'll share that story with you coming up. Before I give you details of what I was told would get me locked into federal prison, I want to share something that Melania Trump did today, making a rare public appearance for the former First Lady. She showed up at the naturalization ceremony at the National Archives. She said, in talking to the 25 newly naturalized citizens, she said, I know your pathway to citizenship in the U.S. was like mine, arduous. In other words, very difficult. because these folks who are now U.S. citizens did not come here illegally. They came by a legal process, either by a lottery that gave them a chance to come, or a family member here who brought them here, and either way, they decided they wanted to have a U.S. citizenship. She said, "For me, reaching the milestone of American citizenship marked the sunrise of certainty. And at that exact moment, I forever discarded the layer of burden connected with whether I would be able to live in the United States. So I hope you're blanketed with similar feelings of comfort right now." Stop and think for a second. You who were born here with a golden ticket, stop and think for a moment. Those who want to be here legally and want to then become a U.S. citizen and all the rights it carries under our Constitution and everything else that's available. She was born in Slovenia, moved to New York City in 1996. But she said, "When I came here, I wanted to become a permanent citizen." She had researched and visited embassies with a goal of securing a worker visa. She said the process was very challenging. She said, "My personal experience of traversing the challenges of the immigration process opened my eyes to the harsh realities these people face, including you, who try to become U.S. citizens." She said, "I was devoted to the process, but not an attorney, but was fortunate to get legal counsel." So in 2001, she says she got a green card through the EB1 program, nicknamed the Einstein visa. That would be for people with extraordinary ability. She did not state what her extraordinary ability was, but she said that's how she got it. Or at least she didn't say it, but that's the facts of her case. Then she became a naturalized citizen in 2006. Her parents became citizens in 2018. And she said, "Becoming an American citizen comes with responsibility. It means actively participating in the democratic process and guarding our freedom. It also means leading by example, contributing to our society. It is a life-altering experience that takes time, determination, and sometimes even tremendous strength." The words of former First Lady Melania Trump. Now, all of those becoming citizens had to take an oath of allegiance. When taking the oath, the new citizen promises to fulfill these duties: support and defend the U.S. Constitution and the laws of the U.S. against its enemies. I have told you previously about a friend of mine from Iraq. When he first arrived here, which was at the time the Iraqis were holding our U.S. embassy and holding U.S. citizens, and he was so afraid that no one would like him. A taxi driver took note of how concerned he seemed to be, and when he explained that he was from Iraq, he said, "People aren't going to hate you. They hate what your country and they're doing, but not you. That's not the way we do it here." That guy is one of the most patriotic non-native-born Americans I've ever met in my life. U.S. flags everywhere. Now, I told you I did something several years ago that I was told, if you do that, you'll be locked up. I was going to cover a naturalization ceremony in Houston, and a federal judge was going to administer the oath, and I was going to go in with a camera, and we're going to get pictures of them raising their hand and taking their oath for the first time. I was told that you cannot do that because a federal judge, wherever he goes, is considered his court, and cameras are not allowed in the federal court unless with permission. Well, I thought, are you really going to have me arrested because I get pictures of people raising their hand to swear their allegiance to our Constitution and our nation? I thought, well, this is going to be fun. So I did. We filmed it, put it on the air. I heard additional people say, are they going to lock you up for that? You're not supposed to do that. Haven't heard word one. And I think I'm past being guilty at this point. Hey, remember our pledge. One Nation Under God.